Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTennessee.com for more info. Corey, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Well, shoot, I need all else stuff. And I'm okay, but I'm staring at a tent in the middle of my living room.
Oh, wow. That's intense right there.
We sold our couch, and so now it's been replaced by a tent.
There you go. Interesting. Sleepovers then? Camping out in the room?
Somebody had a camp out last night.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Not me.
It was not you. Very nicely done. I like the style there. So, Corey, we've talked about this morning. Obviously, still some information to figure out with COVID and the 53-man roster coming out tomorrow as well. But we'll start with the game itself on Saturday night for the Titans against the Bears. What stood out to you in that game? What were a couple of takeaways you had from the Titans' point of view on Saturday night?
Well, I mean, obviously it was good to see the offensive linemen get out there and get some snaps underneath their belt. I think that was important. Good to see DeNico Autry out there as well. So that's my first takeaway, that the guys that were able to get out there. To me, it looks like David Quisenberry is going to be the guy at right tackle by what we saw in the game. What do we always hear them talking about, the most valuable asset of a player, and that's their availability. And as we've gone through camp, Sombrilo working back from the ACL, Lamb gets dinged up, Quisenberry continues to be available, and he was also the starting left tackle as Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards, so he must not be awful, right? So I think there's a lot of trust with Quisenberry, so we saw that. I also thought that both quarterbacks were pressing a little bit to start the game. I don't want to say the enormity of the game was too much for them, but there was a lot on the line that game, and I think early on it looked like it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point on Quessenberry. I would say, like, if they started today, I would agree. But Sombrilo and Lamb just getting back, that could make it interesting. Really, there are actually four guys who could, in theory, start there. I'd probably put Radunz, the rookie, fourth right now.
No.
I'd put
him
fourth.
No, he's not. They can't do that. He is not ready.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be stunned if it was him, but he's, obviously they're giving him as much work as they can. It looks like he's probably going to be a depth guy as a rookie. But I don't know about – you got to remember with Quessenberry, he was Sombrilo's backup last year, and then Sombrilo went down, and he did a nice job. But I think they'd like to see Sombrilo and Lamb push,
I think they'd definitely like to see Sombrilo push. I think there's a lot of trust with Sombrilo and a lot of appreciation for the way he played before he got hurt there last year. Maybe there is for Lamb. I just know, relationships, respect, trust, and, those are guys who've been here. And, we know this about Mike Vrabel, and it's not a bad thing. He trusts people that he's been around, we know the Titans value guys who fight. And Quisenberry, came back from what, leukemia? He's a fighter. He loves football. That's why he's out there.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's they at least have some depth there. Although the interior now is totally different. Corey, I guess Radunz you count as that. Brewer back, but now Daniel Munyer, who's not had a good preseason, limps off, and then we get Ben Jones, the word yesterday of Ben Jones being on the COVID list. What's the concern level there? And also, obviously this week, today, it's not quite like that week with Tom, when Tom Pelissero at 7 a.m. every day is, tweeting out the new, but boy, if the trickle keeps happening here into this week, now you start talking about a season opener, and who knows who could be on that list and could possibly be unavailable for the season opener against the Cardinals.
No, there's no doubt. And you think if all these guys really are vaccinated, they should start getting them back relatively soon. We saw Anthony Rush already come back, and not only come back, but play on Saturday. So I would think so. You know, like, I have concerns about Ben Jones for a number of reasons. Number one, he had practice in a couple weeks. And number two, I don't know who's going to back him up. I mean, who takes, if he doesn't play, who's the backup center? Is it Aaron Brewer?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Okay. Because, I mean.
Or Cole Banwart. A little Cole Banwart action.
That's right.
He got a lot of work
okay.
the other night.
So let's talk about Aaron Brewer, okay? Because Cole Banwart was behind Daniel Munyon, who did not have a great camp and a great preseason. So, but Brewer has got about one or two practices under his belt. And so it's a big 2 weeks for Brewer because I do think Brewer makes the team because he's a guy I think that they like. But so he's going to have, it sounds to me like he's going to be playing a bunch of center this week. So yeah. He's going to get some time.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, we've talked to you a lot about the wide receiver room. Marcus Johnson limps off on Saturday. That was tough to see. Des Fitzpatrick, one big play, one drop in the game as well. But a guy that just keeps on fighting and keeps on making plays, Cam Batson. I know a lot of people have counted out Cam Batson, but he continues to make things interesting in this wide receiver room. What were your impressions of the receivers on Saturday night, and how do you think this is going to play out on the 53-man roster?
Well, Cam, you know, as long as he's been here, has always been described as tough, and I would agree with that. He is a tough dude. I think he's a good depth guy. I think we know what his ceiling is, but I think we know that they can also put him out there and you're not embarrassing yourself. You know, we were kind of going over what we thought was going to happen, and so you've got AJ and Julio, and then you've got Josh Reynolds, and then you've got Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Akina and Des Fitzpatrick, and that's seven, right?
Yep.
And we kind of feel like after last week and hearing about the Achilles, that they start with that and immediately put Reynolds on IR once the roster goes through, and then pick back up, likely, in our opinion, Cam Batson. But we'll see. Maybe it's Racy McMath. I don't know. I just think, you know, Westbrook-Akina fits that gunner role. I know they like McMath in that gunner role, but I think Westbrook-Akina is ready to play in games at wide receiver where I don't know that McMath is. And certainly Cam Batson is. So I don't know. And I don't know if they think they can sneak McMath through to the practice squad or not. But that's I expect those seven, Reynolds on IR, and then picking one of them back up. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Mekhi Sargent?
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, it's obvious they've got a weird situation there, too, you know, with Evans Hurd and McNichols.
Yards per carry aren't everything, but you know how many yards per carry he averaged Saturday night?
It's three, wasn't it?
3.0.
Yep.
3.0. And so everybody gets excited.
It's the monsters of the Midway, Corey.
They are the monsters of the Midway, and they look like monsters for much of the game. but, you know, and look, there are points where I really like Mekhi Sargent, so I'm not bagging the guy. I'm just saying, you know, don't get too excited. And here's the ideal scenario. He's inactive every day on Sunday, right? I mean, that's what we're looking at.
Absolutely.
He's inactive. And so for everybody who's like, he better make the team or we're going to go downtown and march and demand. Look, every time Mekhi Sargent touches the ball, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones don't. Okay, so that's not a great scenario. That doesn't mean, you know, you can't like him, you can't want him on the football team. I'm just saying, let's put things in perspective a little bit. I thought Brian Hill played well until he got hurt. I've always liked Brian Hill because I think he's physical, and I think he's a good replacement for Derrick Henry because he is a bigger physical guy. That is not going to happen now. You know, and they've got to get Darrington Evans back. And for all the people who want Sargent to be number two, Evans is a third-round pick, number one, but number two, probably more important, probably should be number one, he has game-breaking speed.
Yes.
All right? And you want to get game-breaking on the speed on the field. That getting on the field is the big part. They got to keep him healthy, and he has not been able to stay healthy to this point. But they are not going to give up on him after a hamstring injury and now whatever is ailing him, some kind of knee, I believe. But so still, does Mekhi Sargent make the team? I think he has a very good chance. But does he have a very good chance to dress on Sunday? Only if Darrington Evans is hurt.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, I got to go catch up on your Twitter feeds.
That's right. Make sure you do that.
Yeah, have you been sanitizing your Twitter feed and so that Mike won't get mad at you?
Nothing to be ashamed of.
That's right. That's right. Corey joins us every week on Mondays at 8 o'clock. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Oh, that was good stuff there, Dan. That's ever. Corey Curtis brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body-shaping treatments. For more information, visit InvigorateHealthTN.com. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena and Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Friday morning at 9:45. Nashville SC, a big win over the weekend in Atlanta.
I'm boycotting Nashville SC, our Pick to Click.
Yeah, Randall Leal with a goal over the
weekend. Boom.
The one time.
You give up on Randall Leal, I pick up Randall Leal.
And he scored an empty netter.
Yeah, that was – that. Wait, was that Leal or Rios who had the empty netter? That was Leal's?
It was Leal's.
That was an incredible
netter.
Play.
Rios with the first goal. Yeah.
Joe Willis with an incredible play there.
Yeah.
Gary Smith was jacked
He was fired
pumped.
Up. Yeah.
So,
that
yes.
bring you up to two?
That does bring me up to two. So, what is it, like 6-2
1-1-0.
Just an incredible goal. Just an incredible goal, Joe.
Hey, you know, and it's funny because when I took Leal, Elijah, who was in your chair on Friday, was like, you didn't take CJ Sapon. I said, I just had a feeling on Randall Leal. I don't know. Just saying. But that team, that club, second now, tied for second in the East. Hanging in there, man. First row to win of the year.
I just want to let the record show that had I been here, I would have selected Daniel Rios.
Is that right?
That's what the record's going to show.
Okay. I believe you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment, giving his thoughts on the Titans. They lose 27-24 on Saturday night, the preseason finale for the Titans. Good to see Taylor Lewan in there. Didn't play a long time, but Taylor Lewan getting some snaps at left tackle for the Titans on Saturday night. I think based on the mobility that he's displayed and obviously the fact that he's ended up now in a game for the Titans, got to feel pretty good about where Taylor Lewan is and his recovery, and it looks like all systems are go for him as he heads into the regular season. I got to say, I did not expect him to get into a preseason game, but a pretty pleasant surprise that he did, and also him out there for the coin toss and the Titans winning the toss and Lewan just screaming yes after they won it was pretty awesome.
That was pretty hilarious. That was pretty good. And then he came back over to the sideline. He was just like, you know, this was like a Super Bowl type celebration that they won the coin toss. So, yeah, he had fun. And, yeah, it was very surprising to me. I just figured, you know, you can put Taylor Lewan out there. The funny thing is, too, first or second play, it was like a run play. And, you know, it was one of those just massive bodies.
It's tangled up everywhere.
Where people get tangled up and where you can easily just have someone take a helmet to the back of the legs and who the heck knows what happens. And you're like, oh, boy. You get into the mix like that. You put out your, you know, your star left tackle coming off an ACL and then that happens. But, yeah, he was fine. He looked good. It's a great sign for them. I mean, overall, overall the health of the team is good. You know, if you compare it to other teams, we were just watching the thing they had on ESPN about the Ravens. I didn't realize that Rashad Bateman had groin surgery. I totally missed that. But obviously they just lost Dobbins for the year. I mean, a lot of bad things can happen in a preseason. So the Titans avoided that as far as we know. It'll be interesting to see if Corey Curtis is accurate on Josh Reynolds or if he guessed right there that Reynolds is going to be going to IR. But I can't say I'd be shocked if that's the case. And that, you know, if you said that even at the start of camp or certainly in the spring, if you said, you know, Josh Reynolds is going to go on IR, obviously, you got A.J. Brown, you got Julio Jones, but you wouldn't feel great about the depth of receiver.
No.
Well, I mean, Marcus Johnson, if he's not hurt beyond, you know, a minor injury here, He can come out in this offense and make plays. Chester Rogers can make plays. I think Westbrook-Ikhina can as well. But especially those two guys, Johnson and Rogers, have eased the, you know, the depth concerns to a large extent, even while the rookies haven't really had the camp you hope for if you're the Titans.
Yeah, exactly. And going to be really interested to see how that wide receiver battle plays out. We'll get more to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Julio Jones warming up on the field the other day was actually in uniform for the Titans on Saturday night. Now, by in uniform, the helmet was as far away from him as it could be, but he had that hat on. Looked good in a Titans jersey out there.
Yeah.
It's good to see Julio Jones in a Titans jersey for the first time.
That's right. That was the first time of Julio Jones being in uniform. I was kind of trying to look around at fan, like, jersey wearing.
I saw a few.
I saw some twos.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think 22 is going to be – that's going to be a hard one to overcome. 22 is still the predominant Titans jersey. A lot of 11.
A lot of 11.
A lot of 17. 22. A lot of 11, some 17. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the twos will be out there too.
Now, I didn't check to see if the twos were Julio Jones or if they were Sam Sloman, so that's on me.
That's true.
But I'm going to say they're probably Julio Jones.
Yeah, like the Sloman. It's like the I mean, I saw a clump of 67s.
Yeah.
The Banwarts were out there. So.
That's right.
But, yeah, I'm guessing more Julio than Sloman.
Probably so.
Speaking of kicker.
Ficken, tell you.
I mean, you know, that's the thing. I got to think back. It's been a week, so there's some things that have happened, including – I think Ficken establishing himself as a kicker on this team. I think so.
No Gostkowski?
I mean, if it's going to be Gostkowski, I think they'll go with Ficken. If it's going to be Gostkowski, like, that has to start now.
Yeah.
Like, that has to start right now. Like, it has to happen today. Like, we see, you know, Steven Gostkowski added to the roster, whatever corresponding move. It can't, you know, it can't be game week.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, so what is your take now on Mason Kinsey? Several weeks ago, y'all said I was crazy for talking about him making the roster.
Yeah, he's not making the roster. I don't have any different take. Mason Kinsey's been a really nice story. He's a good player. He's certainly good enough to be on the Titans practice squad. He's potentially good enough to be on some active rosters in this league. We were talking earlier, someone asked earlier about Breshad Perriman, who the Lions dropped.
Yep.
Like Mason Kinsey, I could see him helping the Detroit Lions based on their receiver situation, but no, he's not going to make this roster. It's just, I mean, go through the names. This is like, look, Mekhi Sargent is kind of similar, although I'm a little higher on him and what he has done than Kinsey relative to the roster. There's always guys every preseason, especially offensive skill players, who do things and they make you notice. I mean, you know, these are all still people who are like good enough to be trying out for a professional football team. Mason Kinsey's been a great story, but no, he's not going to be on the active roster.
What'd you think of Des Fitzpatrick on Saturday? Had the one big play for 28 yards. Also had a potential huge play that was dropped. Good pass by Logan Woodside on that play. More inconsistency from Des Fitzpatrick. Vrabel talked yesterday about the blocking. It wasn't really there for Des Fitzpatrick. Also mentioned the route that he ran. Pretty good route on that play for Des Fitzpatrick. So a mixed bag on that front. Overall, over the last 2 weeks, what have you made of the way that Des Fitzpatrick has responded to some pretty open criticism and a lot of struggles up until that point in camp?
Responded to Vrabel being displeased with him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's responded.
Don't tell him that.
Yeah, I think he's responded pretty well. I think he's responded pretty well. He's done some things in practice. Last week he had a 75 or so yard touchdown from Tannehill beating Christian Fulton. You know, the response to that they were excited for him. He has made more plays, has been more physical going after the football. Clearly, as Vrabel even said yesterday, talking about Saturday's game, they want more physicality for him when he's not catching the football. You know, that's it's 11 on 11. Got to block if you're going to play for Mike Vrabel and play receiver. So I don't think that they're like thrilled with him, and I don't think he's a lock or anything, but he's at least entered the conversation. I mean, before the recent stretch, I mean, it was like, gosh, you're just going to have to cut your fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And then see if someone picks him up or not. And now I think it's a lot more questionable. And if I had to guess right now, I would guess he's on the roster.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Who's going to make this team offensively, defensively? We'll run through that coming up in the next couple of segments. Also get to the player in the preseason that has impressed Joe Rexroad the most. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans, Heidi from Dixon texting in. Haven't been able to watch preseason because of work. Is our pass rush going to get at least 30 sacks this year? You think the Titans can hit 30 this year with sacks?
Yeah, you would think, right? 19 last year?
19.
Ooh. And 40.
I think 43.
Oh, was it 43 the year before? They were in the 40s. They were in the 40s the year before. Yeah, I mean, certainly you would hope that you could get like a couple sacks a game as a defense. That would be, again, that would still be subpar. So if they don't hit 30 this year, however it comes about, because remember the 40, remember even after that 2019 season, it was obvious they needed more pass rush because a lot of those sacks were schemed up. I mean, Logan Ryan was actually an incredible blitzer out of the slot. You know, they did a lot of things to get those sacks. So one way or another, individuals who are paid to be pass rushers, getting it done, good blitzes that get home. I mean, I think 40 is a reasonable goal.
Adam in Portland texting in, Gostkowski doesn't need to make this team just because Vrabel likes him. He wasn't good last year. He had a couple of game winners. But if he hadn't drilled so many big kicks against Minnesota, he would have had a horrible year last year. Got to go with Ficken. He can drill a 58-yarder at least, so give him a chance. Adam, a big fan of Hot Ficken out there.
Yeah, so Adam just hit on something that it's Rex rant worthy. This idea that, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, the trust thing is real. Okay, there's no doubt, and maybe to a fault. You know, that can. Some coaches really keep it internal into a close-knit group. Some coaches are out there trying to find new minds all the time. There's probably a good balance. But the idea that Vrabel would, like, employ someone who's his buddy or whatever, or any coach, it's so dumb. I mean, Gostkowski was one of the greatest kickers in NFL history. By the way, that Minnesota game, they don't win if he doesn't have a monster day. So that's not why he would do something. Matt Cassel is a really good friend of Mike Vrabel's, going back to their time with New England and Kansas City. And, you know, he came in here and it was cut him immediately. He visited him. Like, they have hung out together, you know, socially,
yeah,
you know, in Nashville before when Castle was here. And then, you know, he comes in and cuts him. It's not a buddy thing.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in. Welcome back, Robbie. Thank you, Jim. With a season-ending injury to Baltimore's running back, would they be interested in a trade of one of ours? Sargent seems to have displayed value that may interest other teams if we can't keep him. Great show as always. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And, yeah, I don't think Sargent hasn't risen to that level, I don't think. I mean, the Ravens still have some pretty good backs there. Look, I mean, I like Sargent. Don't get me wrong. I don't see the Ravens parting with much for a Mekhi Sargent based on his preseason performance.
No, they still have Gus Edwards. I mean, they've got backs that they feel okay about. But certainly, J.K. Dobbins is a massive loss for that offense.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to be, I think, you know, a key player for that offense. So, but that's – you do look at stuff like that, possible trades at this point. People who, you know, maybe you have a surplus or, you know, what about the Titans? What could they be looking at out there? Is there anything that the Titans would, you know, be looking around the league either to pick up after cuts or, you know, maybe swing a deal for? I mean, you know, offensive line depth, maybe safety depth, maybe. How do they feel about those guys after the top two? I don't know.
Matias Farley.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matias Farley is a three. Do they feel good about that? I mean, I think he's been solid in camp, but that's one of those positions where you want your top two. You want everybody to stay healthy, but like safety, you know, you don't feel good about having injuries. Corner, you can have some injuries.
Well, they put Amani Hooker out there the other night to return a punt, and I was just like, I was sitting in the stands like, hey, I know that you want to see what he's got back there, but maybe don't do this right now in the preseason game.
You don't want to lose that. All of a sudden, Amani Hooker has become, a guy you cannot lose.
Dennis texting in on the text line. The players that have impressed me the most are Tart and Weaver. So two guys on the defensive side of the ball for Dennis. Tart and Weaver have impressed him the most. Joe, who are a couple of guys that maybe have impressed you the most so far throughout this preseason run here with the Titans?
Well, I do want to ask on that question. Are we talking? Everyone? Like, are we talking more? Trying to make the team, young guys, et cetera, et cetera.
Take it any way you want to take it.
Because I could say like Lawan in like two series. I was like, wow, look at Lawan, healthy,
looked pretty good,
stud left tackle. But I would agree in. If we're going a little bit more on, people we don't know as well. I mean, Derrick Henry's impressed the heck out of me with his work and his coaching, and, he looks awfully good. He's going to be good. But he hasn't obviously played football in the preseason. I agree on Tart and Weaver. I mean, I think those are both two good names. I mean, Tart, I think, has established himself as that third guy and possibly a starter when they start with three down linemen. I would assume, when you have Dupree and Landry back, you're probably starting Autry, Simmons, and just two down linemen. But the other night, they started three down linemen. And Tart's going to play a lot. Tart was good.
Yep.
Weaver, obviously, I think Weaver's going to make a difference. I certainly think of Elijah Molden now in terms of recent. I mean, I think some things have clicked for him. As Tron Davenport pointed out, and then he was asking the question, the presser the other night about, Molden being out there really actively communicating, telling veterans out there, something, pre-snap, like having a great feel for everything is no surprise. He's a son of a former NFL player, and that was the billing on Elijah Molden coming in, and he's lived up to it. I've been really impressed with him lately. Obviously, he had the breakout game against Tampa Bay, but I feel like he is on his way to starting in the slot for this team, and that I would not have guessed 2 weeks ago. So he comes to mind, there's other guys who have impressed, but then you have to put the asterisks, as Corey Curtis pointed out, like with Mekhi Sargent, you don't want him playing. Mason Kinsey has been impressive, but he's not going to make the team. Cam Batson has been impressive. I mean, he was the other night, and he has been. He's constantly impressive. I don't think he's going to make the team either. He's ahead of Kinsey, but I think he's going to be probably on the outside looking in. Others who have impressed, again, I'm trying to avoid the key guys. I think
AJ
Simmons
Brown
looked good.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Right. I mean, Tannehill. I don't know. I mean, but guys like that have
Brett Kern.
I've also been impressed. Actually, Brett Kern needs to pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
He needs to pick it up a little bit. It'll regular season games, it count.
It'll be fine.
But as far as impressed with, I guess, the persistence. Look, Dylan Radunz has had a heck of a rookie camp for an offensive lineman, which a lot of offensive linemen in this league have those type of camps. I will say I'm impressed with how he keeps coming at it and how he has taken coaching and gotten better. And I think he's really good at some things. I feel like pre-snap recognition, handing guys off on twists and things like that. Like he's you can see a lot of good stuff. It just at times, just one-on-one, he has been mauled. And he's going to be interesting to track. I'm not ruling him out. I'm probably almost ruling him out from like right tackle opener, but I'm not ruling him out for the entire season. Let's not forget Nate Davis. A little bit different situation with an injury, but a guy who got way better by November than he was in September.
So let me ask you this, because this is really interesting to me to see how this is going to work out if they remain healthy at this position. And that's at corner, because you brought up Elijah Molden maybe being the guy in the slot. I would assume at some point this year, you're hoping if you're the Titans, Caleb Farley is ready to play, not only play, but ready to start your first-round pick. and he's going to be outside. You've got Jackrabbit Jenkins in there as well. What's going to happen with Christian Fulton if Molden is going to be the guy in the slot, Farley goes outside, and you've got Jenkins there as well? Is your second-round pick from a year ago just going to be a backup at that point? What happens with Christian Fulton if it is going to be Elijah Molden in the slot and Farley eventually becomes the guy on the outside?
Yeah, it's a good question, but I'll say this. Right now, no, the second-round pick from last year is better than the first-round pick from this year. And that should be no surprise.
Sure.
Caleb Farley just started playing, but I mean, Christian Fulton's not going to be easy to be removed from the field. And we know that long-term, and this was, I think, the second defensive series, it was Farley, Fulton, and Molden. Long-term, I think that's the corner plan. That's your top three. But Jenkins has been good, and I think Jenkins is right now a solid, established starter. And I just feel like it's just competition, you know. I think it's possible that Fulton could move inside. That question's been asked a lot. It's been asked to him. I asked him that question last week. Shane Bowen's been asked that question a lot. He played it last year, but they haven't repped him there at all. So to me, like, if you're never going to rep a guy at a spot and he's still a young player, I kind of wonder if they really would just do that. I mean, I think it's really more just there are three corners competing to start outside, and the best two every week are gonna be the starters.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. I have more of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Titans and talking the 53-man roster that will be out tomorrow. Now, Joe, as you've pointed out early in the show, COVID complicating issues a little bit right now for the Titans in terms of the 53-man roster. So what we see tomorrow may not necessarily be what the roster ultimately is when it comes to the opening week of the season, or especially as they move forward here with hopefully no more bad news on the COVID front today for the Titans as that continues to develop. But as you look at some of the key position groups that we've talked about throughout training camp into the preseason now as well, and we can start with wide receiver because I think it's been the most widely discussed, who do you think is going to make this team? How close do you think the battle is at the back end of that room? And if you had to guess right now, how many wide receivers are they keeping? And who's going to be a part of that group that they ultimately end up keeping if you're the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're going to have some guys on the COVID list who, so they're going to be on the reserve COVID list, so you don't have to make decisions at that point. So you're going to have some who are technically on the 53 who won't be once guys get off the COVID list. So I suppose the one at receiver would be, Racy McMath is on the list right now, so for example, we just won't know what the decision on him is until he gets off the COVID list. And look, I mean, I guess you could look at that in a weird way as an advantage for the Titans in terms of you can kick the can down the road with a few of those decisions. And obviously when you cut people on cut day, that's when teams look to add to their rosters. So maybe a team makes a decision on somebody else on another team. And then when you cut McMath later, now that team doesn't want him anymore, and you sneak him onto your practice squad. I mean, that's a hypothetical that could play out in your favor. But as far as who's making it, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. So I don't know Josh Reynolds, like what the status with the injury is. At this point, I'm going to say Josh Reynolds, Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, Nick Westbrook, Akina, those six. And then Cam Batson has been great. Mason Kinsey has been really good. But I think I'm going to go seven, and I'm going to go Dez Fitzpatrick. And again, maybe it doesn't need to be seven because maybe someone does go on IR. I don't know. But I'm going to say they have a huge receiver room with Dez Fitzpatrick, and they work with him this year rather than like the IR thing where he wouldn't be able to do anything. I think that's the way it goes.
Well, just to clear things up, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've got to be on the roster to then go on IR to be eligible to come back.
That's true, too. Yes, exactly.
So yep. It's not like they could put somebody on IR right now and then come back at any point
this
year. If
you put someone on IR, again, you're done. They're done. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you can go on IR after. But then again, like, so what are your moving parts there? I mean, you could always bring someone back. And you could do that, cut, and then, yeah, hope to bring him back. But if you cut, then now he's open to other teams potentially grabbing him. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard – I could see that happening. I could see it not happening, but it's a risk you're taking unless you just don't think he's – unless now, after all this evaluation, you just don't think he's what you thought he was when you drafted him. And if that's the case, well – you take the L and move on, I guess. I mean, it's at this point, I mean, this is a go-for-it team. This is a have as many veterans as you can who can make plays for you in a pinch and have as much quality depth as you can have. And right now, I just don't see Des Fitzpatrick helping this offense this year. And the other six guys I listed, I think, could.
Yeah.
And actually, Cam Batson would have a much better chance of helping this offense right now as things stand than Des Fitzpatrick.
Agreed. For sure. I mean, and look, I think you know what you have in Cam Batson. The question is the numbers game ultimately going to be something that catches up to him? Because he's certainly not played his way out of a roster spot. I think he's played really well. He had four targets the other night, made four catches, had another touchdown. I mean, the guy's been really good and has done everything that you've asked him to do. It just may be a numbers game at this point for him. I do wonder, though, I mean, you know, early in camp, Racy McMath was the talk of camp, and that's obviously died down a lot. Right now he's on the COVID list. But, you know, I get it. The temptation of the size and the speed is there. But I also think at this point, Joe, I would be surprised if he doesn't make the team and somebody else picked him up. Like, I think he could be on the practice squad for the Titans.
Yeah, I think you got a better chance there for sure. Because, again, if someone picks him up, they have to pick him up for their active roster.
Correct.
So how many – now, I will say, like, we've talked a lot about Detroit Lions receivers today. If I were the Lions, I might be interested in that as a young, bad team
that's
just going to be bad this year. I still am intrigued by Racy McMath. I'm intrigued by what he could be. I think a lot of people have got to look at him and say, man, just a good year of coaching him up, he could be an effective receiver in this league. The size, speed, they are extraordinary. And he did make a bunch of plays early in camp. I don't know exactly why that fell off, but he just sort of faded into the background. And probably a lot of it is just a lot of the swimming that happens with rookies come into an NFL offense to try to figure things out, or maybe a little bit of an injury. I mean, who knows? But I think you're probably right. I do think there's a chance that someone out there in the right situation might take a flyer on him.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, the size, the speed, there's not a whole lot of guys like that that are that big that can run that well. So I can see what the temptation would be just at some point. How deep of a dive are these people taking into looking at Racy McMath? I mean, he's got to put something on film as well.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the Titans, I know, they've got these scouts. I mean, they are pouring over all the preseason film from other teams too. So they're ready to pounce potentially on this player or that player if they get exposed. So that's how they end up with Khalif Raymond.
Yep.
It's not like he even did that much with the Giants. Whenever that preseason was it 17, 18? But there was a scout in the Titans organization who was just bullish on Khalif Raymond, his story, what he knew of his personality, but also the idea that he could help this team and make some plays. And obviously right now this receiver room is a long way from needing Khalif Raymond, but that was a really good pickup, and that's what can happen. So the Titans could do that, and someone else could – really like what they see from a McMath or a Fitzpatrick if he gets cut, which, well, as time goes on, I doubt more.
And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, we had a texter earlier bring up Rashad Weaver and how impressive he's been so far through camp. I think the picture at outside linebacker has become pretty clear at this point with John Simon being cut yesterday by the Titans. And it looks like Weaver, at this point, is going to be the three for the Titans.
Yeah, I thought he was anyway. I thought Simon was going to make the team for sure and be like a reliable backup. I mean, Simon was, to me, like a guy that if they need him, he's gotten a lot of work with the ones. But again, the ones in a camp that has had no Bud Dupree, really. I mean, he's been out there running around. He looks good. But, you know, he hasn't been playing in any of the team stuff. And then Harold Landry has sort of been in and out of the lineup. I thought Simon was just going to be like, you know, the depth guy if they need him. But obviously, yeah, Weaver is certainly the three. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I guess I should say I think he's the three.
Hey, Roberson started the other day.
I mean, Roberson did start the other day, and Ola Adeniyi has been good, and he's going to be a core special teams player. And, man, he has been – I remember early in camp, you know, go back to one of the days we were in here talking about Dylan Radins, and I was like, yeah, this guy, 92, whatever his name is, blows by him, and it's like, bad luck, Radins. Well, actually, he did that to other people too, and he's done that to other people on other teams they played in the preseason. So I think both of those guys could potentially contribute. But, yeah, I think Weaver's the three because I think Weaver is a physical presence who, again, you can move inside in certain looks, and he's got that nice versatility. And I think he's going to help this team.
Coming up next, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans and get into what worries us the most about this football team as they head into the regular season here in less than 2 weeks. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.